You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, happy St. Patrick's Day. Welcome to another episode of Lakers Fast Break, Lakerholic Spotlight, Laker Tom and myself being the Lakerholics. Hope everybody's, responsibly enjoying St. Patrick's Day, which, in my opinion, is just one of those fun corporate America holidays to get people to do weird stuff and buy things that are green, much like Cinco de Mayo, which has nothing to do with what Cinco de Mayo celebrates. And if you're Irish, may you...
Or married to an Irish...
Or married to an Irish, a person of Irish descent.
Yeah.
Wish them well and thank St. Patrick for driving the snakes from your land, which is what the holiday celebrates, evidently.
It's one of those alcohol fueled holidays.
Yeah, that I just have not participated in for decades now. So
I don't know anymore. So yeah. I found other ways to celebrate. So
with an ice cold can of Coca-Cola.
An ice cold can of Coke is always.
And I've got my cold coffee from this morning. Anyway, before we get into it, like and subscribe. Come by please the blog. Do. Come by liquorholics.com. Chat with Tom and I, and the rest of the blog. Michael H. Mongo, the real DJ 24, who really could use some uplifting right now after last night's game, which was just
it was so depressing, man.
God awful. And like so anticlimactic.
LeBron's foot was over the line. It was not touching the line.
It's so hard to tell if his back heel actually
Perfect photo of it. They got a perfect photo of it that shows.
No, but a photo's no good. You can cherry pick a frame for a photo.
No, it's, the it's, thing is that when you think about it. If you think about a sneaker, the very front and end of the sneaker are not going to be touching the line unless his foot is flexed forward or backwards.
It's we could go back and forth about that all we want. It doesn't matter. It's over and done with now.
That's just another way of screwing the Lakers.
I mean, the one that was more egregious to me was the one where it clearly looks like his foot is behind the 3-point line in Minnesota, where we weren't able to go to overtime. That's the one that's still going.
Well, not only that, but Guthrie's crew is always just terrible. Do you see that play afterwards where
Draymond Green hops?
The Warriors guy travels, changes his pivot foot, and then steps out of line. And they don't see any of those three errors. Well, they've got three refs focused zero on that same play.
I know. And the one after the jump ball where Draymond Green switches pivot foots and then hops three times. But that's out of bounds on us, and we have to burn a challenge and another
and
half hour.
How many times does Anthony Davis get smacked in the face?
Inadvertently?
Inadvertently, and no call. No call made.
I that was astounding to me.
And then the ineptness of the referees and be able to control the game. I mean, and Kerr calling for a technical for LeBron throwing the ball, bouncing the ball hard.
Anyway, very frustrating.
Not only that, you have to listen to
JJ Redick and his
Redick and Dorothy has become nothing more than a corporate shill, man. That woman doesn't have any opinions of anything other than it's disgusting, man. I can't stand her.
And I don't mind Doris Burke.
JJ Redick is horrible. He's so anti-Laker.
He's super anti-Lakers. He was like,
you go to their equivalents of the TNT crew.
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith and Wilbon. I mean, that is such a joke of announcers.
Well, those are the ESPN guys. Those are the ESPN guys. The
ESPN has gone downhill dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, they fired everybody that was good because they were too spicy, evidently. And they're going bankrupt because they have such a wonderful product. Anyway, we're not here to talk about ESPN. I mean, I read the articles and don't listen to what any of them say because I like to digest a lot of Laker content. It's obvious that the Lakers are not finishing the season the way we all had hoped. And they're even managing to still squander home games, unfortunately. And that we're about to go on a 6-game road trip. So where are you at in your – I mean, you're the more optimistic of the two of us. I'm in full-on, we might fall out of the play-in at this point if we keep playing like this.
Yeah, we're not going to fall out of the play-in.
It would take some doing. I mean, Houston
– But it ain't because of our play that's going to keep us in there. It's just because of the – teams below us are horrible.
You say that, but I think Houston's actually going to play better without Sengun, because they're better defensively without him, and they won't have to balance as much of a defense offense attack. And I won't be surprised. I will be very surprised if Houston doesn't make this a lot more interesting than either the Warriors fan base or the Lakers fan base wants it to be.
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, for that to happen, the Lakers really have to fall apart.
Are we not watching the Lakers fall apart?
I think what we're watching is the two things that we knew we didn't have at the trade deadline, which was really astonishing that they decided not to do anything to rectify either situation. Not having a center. A reliable backup center or a starting center, the two bigs that they always wanted to play during the year, that was a real huge mistake. And not having, Gabe Vincent being the point of attack point guard that was going to be our defensive version of Schroeder from last year never came around. And so we're doing about where we are, and the flaws that we have shown, in my opinion, were always visible. And as the games became more competitive and more important to both us and the other team, those flaws became bigger. And that doesn't overshadow in my mind what I think was a real important development during the season, which was putting Reeves and Russell together and really showing what an offense could do. And the Lakers could shoot threes as good as anybody else. The problem is that they probably should have just, and the injuries acerbated this, because they should have put just, instead of putting three offense-only guys in the starting lineup with LeBron and AD, they should have at least put one defensive guy in there, like Vanderbilt. But he wasn't available, and he was playing great. And I still think we have a puncher's chance. If Vando can come back, let's say, and play seven games in April and get ready for the playoffs, and if he can play to the level he was playing before, he was our number one individual defensive rating player for the year, and he was playing dramatically better offensively than he had played last year.
He was taking and making open three-point shots that came his way.
Yep. More importantly than that, he was being aggressive at the basket to me.
Agreed.
Because before, he had really turned into almost a guy who could not score at the rim.
Well, it makes me wonder if his foot was bothering him at the end of the season last season. I mean, we're never going to get the full picture. We're not until somebody writes their memoirs.
The same is true of Vincent, that the start that he had this year was reflective of his health.
Oh yeah, I think that he probably should have gotten, if his knee was bothering him post playoffs. He should have been. Well, he should have gotten. Well, I'll tell you what. So this is if you want my unvarnished opinion, it's that his knee was probably.
Do I ever get anything else?
Huh?
No. I like to sometimes get your varnished opinions on
things. That's not happening, Tom. I'm sorry.
They're always stripped raw, you know?
Yep. I'm like, no, so this is what I think. I think the knee was likely bothering him at the end of the playoffs last summer. And you can't get a big contract if you go from the playoffs to knee surgery.
Yeah, for sure.
So he didn't get knee surgery in the summer. The
contract could have had anything to do with it.
You wanted the unvarnished opinion, and there it is. So I think he got his big payday from the Lakers. I mean, obviously you have to go through a physical of some sort, but I doubt they do MRIs. Yeah. And I'll bet he goes, oh, yeah, everything feels fine. Everything feels great. And here we are.
Yeah, we probably should have varnished that a little. But at any rate. I look at this whole thing as a positive thing. I think there's some things that I think we've learned this season.
Okay.
Number one, we've learned that LeBron James is not done. He's got more years. He's got a couple of years left. We've learned that AD can pass the ball.
I'm not feeling a lot of
optimism. We cannot survive playing small ball.
Not with these guys, no.
We need to play big. And that AD needs a center next to him. We've also learned that we can shoot the three ball, and we can change that formula that says that we have to get 10 points in free throws and points in the paint to offset 10 points that we lose in the three-point game. We've learned that we can change that. So we went a little too far with the offense, and it hurt the defense so badly that it dulled a little bit of the impact of the offense. And a lot of that was Vando not just being available. So We have 14 games left to go in the season. 7 in the next 2 weeks in March and 7 in the first 2 weeks of April. The goal, hopefully, is that Vando will be back by April 1st. And that we can have 7 games of him getting back into shape and hopefully moving on, and I think the obvious move is that he replaces Reeves in the starting lineup. And that's a good discussion to have as to who he should replace, because there's arguments in a lot of different areas.
I
want to be bigger. I want to go bigger. And the only way to go bigger is you don't replace Rui with him.
I don't think that's going to happen, Tom. I'm sorry.
You know, I think they can't leave Reeves and Russell in there at the starting lineup.
You better get used to it, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Because I don't see.
I don't think so. I think that Vando, by the time we get to the playoffs, Vando will be the starting shooting guard.
He's back by the playoffs. That's if he's back by the playoffs. B, if he can quickly recapture the form that we saw that took him over a month to.
And if we make the playoffs, I know a lot of ifs there.
There's a lot of ifs in this sentence. So
where we are, man. This team is what it is.
It's a
team of a lot of ifs.
And so that's going to be the defining conversation that goes into the summer. You say that LeBron isn't done, but I will counter with, but he's not enough.
No, he's not enough, and he's not going to take less than max either, too, to anybody who thinks that's crazy. I think LeBron will sign a 3-year max deal. I think the Lakers will go over the first. They'll go over the first tax thing. They're not going to be below that this time, because they have to reward people and so forth. And I think the biggest decision facing the franchise is: do we keep D'Lo or go after Trey?
Well, some of that comes down to what D'Angelo Russell chooses to do. So
how he plays the rest of the year.
He could walk, right? He could walk. He could say, I'm declining my option, and I'm not interested in signing with the Lakers.
That could have a big factor in that. Could be who's the head coach.
I don't think. Yeah. So we all read the article. I'm assuming that on D'Angelo Russell. That was I think it was an ESPN, wasn't it,
right,
or the Athletic? I can't remember. One of those two. Where he talked about how he's maintained his cool as a professional and not lost his mind after the Nick Young debacle. after getting traded multiple times, once after an All-Star year.
Yeah, he's married and he's got a kid, man. We all know what a difference that makes in people's
lives.
That
has a tendency to ground people. But at the same time, he's talked about how being publicly humiliated has sharpened him and made him less prone to being affected by outside criticism, which if you're a young, up-and-coming athlete and you're going to amount to anything in this world, the first thing you should not care about is what anybody outside your circle of friends thinks about you. Let your trainer, let your agent, your family, maybe on your family, have some weight on your opinion, but really just listen to the professionals who know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's pretty hard when you come up to the AAU circuit and everything the way that Theo did.
No, I mean, and he was thrown into the fire, right? He was thrown into this fire of post.
Magic drafted him and everything.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Actually, Mitch drafted him, I think. Jimbo and Mitch drafted him because that was still part of the we're building something young here. Magic's last thing was to give away Zubats for Mo Wagner.
Ironically, Zubats now it turns out to be is exactly the kind of center that you need next to AD.
That's that would have been the most brilliant pairing since sliced bread. So, I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like what I've learned about the Lakers this season is that there is no good offseason. Rob Pelinka does not have either the ability internally or the creativity as a GM to put together a solid regular season winning team around two max contracts. And on top of that, I think he's held back by his coach.
When you screw it up with the Westbrook trade.
Not this summer. This summer you'd moved on.
I thought he did a good job this summer.
I
didn't think he did a good job at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that was due to.
I would have used all of those seconds and got some help for another big man, man.
But how? Who wanted our second rounders? And what would you have traded? I mean, you can't just like. This is what I mean. Like the Clippers aren't going to trade us Zubats, right?
Nope.
Nobody's going to trade us the guy we want for bargain basement prices. So you can't.
You're going to have to give him more. You're going to have to give him more.
You're going to have to overpay. He's not in the business of overpaying. Except
that's what happens when you
can overpay LeBron.
Yeah, but you make a commitment. You make a commitment, and the Lakers have made a commitment that has been ridiculously wrong for four straight seasons of not willing to spend more than the minimum amount of money on a starting center or a backup center. And that has cost them. It's the single biggest weakness. When AD leaves the court, it's just like, it's like it used to be when LeBron left. And it's because of the scarcity of anybody to replace what he gives us on the court defensively. I mean, Steph had 0 points inside the paint in the first quarter when AD was there. And the rest of the game, he's making layups, not even contested layups. It's just, as far as I'm concerned, if I were the owner of the team, I would fire Pelinka. I would fire Ham. And I'd fire them both right now.
Well, they're not going to do that, Tom.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cool.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I definitely think that there is a serious. If we lose D'Angelo Russell because of keeping Darvin Ham, that will be a really serious mistake, because we have finally got, after all of these years of, I mean, 20 years of me begging and praying and pleading for the team to get modern, to develop a modern offense and to take advantage of the benefits of the three-point shot, we finally get a guy who's doing it, shooting 45% and taking 9 threes a game.
He didn't make, he wasn't shooting 45%.
We're going to lose him for Darvin Ham?
No.
You can trade the guy you've been dreaming of getting for a ham sandwich. A slightly used and soiled ham sandwich at that.
Oh, my God. A ham sandwich. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
805 High King agrees with you. No way Ham will be here next year. I hate to say it, everybody. I disagree completely.
Guy betting on house money because you know the Lakers are so inept, so you bet on them never doing anything.
That's
not
true.
Most of the time, simply because that's just the
because I'm right.
You're like betting on a sure thing.
That's not no. There, you don't. It's not a bet if it's a sure thing. And so, Tom just doesn't like that I'm so often correct, and that his wild.
I just don't like that you just basically. Wacky. Say, your position is we're not going to make a trade. We're not going to win anything. We're not going to do this. Right. We're not going to do that.
That's not true. So,
and 90% of the time we don't do those things, and as a result, you look like you're correct.
And not only do I look like I'm correct, I actually am correct. That's the astounding thing about being right. All right, but Mike, oh man, this is this is exactly why we're all here, Kurt. Yeah, baby.
Half a ham sandwich and a Coke.
Half a ham sandwich. Half a ham sandwich is the quote of the day, by the way.
Are we going to make the play-in tournament?
Yes, we are going to.
Said we weren't going to make the play-in tournament now.
I said that I wouldn't be surprised if Houston made it a lot more uncomfortable for both
Lakers. Be surprised at anything bad happening for the Lakers.
Now you're just being mean. listen, I'll tell you this. This is my problem with Darvin Ham. And that D'Angelo Russell article was kind of like the nail in the coffin for it. He was brought here because he was supposed to be a developmental guy and a player's coach. Yet this player's coach can't seem to talk to any of his players he plays favorites, right? Dennis Schroeder, part of Atlanta when he was an assistant coach. Torian Prince, part of Atlanta when he was an assistant coach. Milwaukee. What I'm not liking about this, this current version of Darvin Ham is that if you're not a player's coach and you're not really developing guys, because, you know, okay, Jackson Hayes has played better, great. Max Christie is getting minutes because everybody's hurt. Same with Hayes. If Wood was healthy, I think we'd be playing Wood. If Vincent was healthy, I don't think Christie would be getting minutes.
Yeah.
So you're playing favorites. Last season, your best shooter in D'Angelo Russell, you basically relegated to an afterthought because you didn't believe in him, because you believed more in a guy you knew. You played favorites with as equally limited a player, if not more limited, in Dennis Schroeder, who definitely has a ceiling. And who definitely is, you know, not the smartest tool in the shed. And to Dennis Schroeder's credit, he took all of that in stride and was like, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm just playing basketball.
You remember last season when Dennis quit in the middle of the game?
Yes, I do remember last season when Dennis
quit. I said at that point in time, he'd never play for me again if I were the coach.
But this is my problem with Darvin Ham, is that he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He would rather play his buddy.
That said everything to me about Dennis as a player.
Yeah.
Not, you know, and... Hey, listen, he's a very talented player.
I disagree with this completely.
I can't. He's a guy who lacks 180 degree vision. You know, if he's not looking directly at the rim, he misses guys who are open underneath all the time. And I just, you watch D'Lo. D'Lo doesn't do that. D'Lo never misses those guys who are open. LeBron never misses them.
Well, and like what I really have appreciated about D'Angelo Russell this season is about how his non basketball moment leadership is shown through. You always
see him, I agree with you 100%.
You always see him pumping guys up. Like, you miss a shot, he comes up. He does
smart moves. He was telling
Hayes
when he was spiked up last night. He's telling
100%.
Spencer how to guard, you know, it's all of those little tiny moves. He seems to me to be the perfect fit for this team. And he's much more important to the future of the Lakers, in my opinion, than Darvin Ham is.
Kurt, I would love.
I hope to hell that Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss can see that, or even that if Darvin can understand that. Don't you see what this has done for the offense? This saved the job. It saved his job. Darvin would have not. I don't think Darvin would be here if we hadn't had the resounding turnaround that we did. If that move hadn't been made, and I think he was forced to make that move of putting D'Lo back in the starting lineup. But if he hadn't made that move, the Lakers, I don't think he would be here now.
I mean, it's hard to say.
And he needs to appreciate the fact that what turned his team around.
He probably thinks he turned this team around. this is my problem, right?
I really have always been quite suspicious of the motives of some of the analysts. But the articles coming out and the points being made against Ham, a lot of them from some of the specific people in the Lakers world, where they point out how he's ignored in the timeouts and so forth, and how the players aren't. You never see him congratulate D'Angelo coming out of the game.
No, he could every once in a while, but I mean, here's the thing. I mean, this is my problem, right? I put the comment up a little while ago. He's like I look at him and I see him and Jason Kidd as being in the same boat, and it's kind of like when you're a really good role player, you're never gonna quite be a superstar. Ham and Kidd are not elite head coaches. They are elite assistant coaches. And when you see an elite assistant coach, it's like Luke Walton was under Steve Kerr, right? It's natural to think that guy is ready to take the next step. But when they don't, can't, or however it shakes out, you need to cut bait and run. What I don't think the Lakers are going to do this summer is cut bait and run for two reasons. Just two. One, they're cheap. Number one, money. Two, who better? Would you want to see Budenholzer walk through the door? Does that name excite you? Is Phil Handy any better?
No, let's. I'm real eager to answer this question because I've thought about it a lot.
Please.
The thing about coaching, in my opinion, is that you have to have a solid ground around you, a set of principles of how you actually do the job, so that you don't have to reinvent and think about every single move as if it's an isolated incident. Because you have to manage all of these personalities and you have to deal everybody different. You have to have a different game plan for each player, but you do need to have that strain of consistency that they know what you are about. Defense first, I think that's a good position to be. I like that as a coach. That's how I generally have approached it. But the other side of it is that you have to understand that there are some principles that just need to be followed. Number one, you got to have a point guard on the court all the time. You know? Number two, if you got two superstars, one of them's got to be on the court all the time. If you got two rim protectors, one of them's got to be on the court all the time. If you want playmakers, you want to have multiple playmakers on the court all the time, so you've got versatility. You got to play defense and offense, so you got to have some guys, you got to build rotations and lineups that cover both areas. You can't just put your five best shooters out there and say, okay, let's go. You got to figure these things out.
That's not happening, though. And it's not
happening because Darvin Ham doesn't have a set of principles that ground him. Now, Mike Budenholzer does.
He does?
Yes, he does.
What are his principles?
Firm believer. He's a firm believer in certain principles, and you may not agree with every one of them, but at least you know that there's consistency, and that's what I don't see from Ham, because I don't think he's got a few things grounded, but there's a difference between having biases in your mind and having principles that are solid things that prevent you from doing dumb things.
This is, I think, why every single fan
capitalize the knowledge of your profession.
So I hear what you're saying. You're saying that the difference between Ham and Budenholzer is that Budenholzer functions more like a professional.
He's got a system. He's got a set of standards, you know? I spent probably an inordinate amount of time when Bud made his change from 5 out to 4 out. Yeah. I thought it was one of the most intelligently thought justifications for why his players would have a better chance to attack the rim and score by not playing 5 out, by having somebody in the dunker position. And the way that he went about doing that by, you know, painting things on the court, rectangles on the court where the players lined up and so forth, and all of the various things that went through that whole decision-making process, I thought were spot on. The problem Mike had, obviously, in that last year was that there was tremendous pressure from Giannis to win. And
Middleton is starting to break down. That's the real issue.
Starting to break down.
That's the real issue with Milwaukee.
They made a big mistake in trading Drew. They should never have traded Drew Holiday.
You don't trade one of the best defensive point guards in the league for somebody who doesn't play any defense.
What do you think the Lakers need right now? The Lakers need right now what the Celtics got this year. A center. A center who could stretch the court and a point guard who could defend. Why didn't we get those two guys? They were available. I've asked for them multiple times.
Yeah,
I know. I can give you a whole list of the times I've said, get this one. You know?
It's a never-ending list.
They're built around your center and your point.
Please, Tom, don't give us a list of all the times you've tried to make a trade. It's going to be like one of those comedic things.
I'm trying to make that trade.
The scroll rolls to the next state.
From the time he first tried out in the NBA, I have wanted to get Porzingis on the Lakers.
Why?
Jesus. Why? For the same reason he's helping the Celtics win everything.
He's not going to win. No, he's going to just – don't worry. Don't worry about Porzingis. Any minute now, one of those limbs is going to – is not going to
– Porzingis would be the perfect.
I won't disagree with that. You know, I disagree. I think somebody like Vando, if Vando was a little bit bigger and heavier and a little bit better of an outside shooter, along the lines of like a Bobby Portis, right? I actually think a guy like Bobby Portis is the perfect player to play beside AD. Or you need somebody more like, I mean, this is the thing when you say that like Budenholzer has the system. And this is how I feel about 90% of the coaches in the NBA. They don't actually have a system. They look at the players that they have on the roster and say, this is what we're going to do. And it's a variation of a simple thing. 4 out, 5 out. It really kind of ends there. Unless you're Steve Kerr, who designs plays to free Steph, and you watch it happen all game long. The screener sets a screen. The cutter sets a screen. Nobody else does that. No other team sets screens like the Golden State Warriors. And it's not like some magical formula that he had to climb a mountain and unearth in a cave to find. Do it.
But he did have on his roster the players who could play that system.
No, you don't think if we set two or three screens for D'Lo to get open shots, if we ran plays, actual plays, to get D'Angelo Russell's looks that we know he makes, that his efficiency wouldn't improve anymore, that he could maybe make an all-star team or be an all-NBA.
I think it's stupid not to build the team's offense around D'Angelo Russell.
It is stupid, and this is the problem
with crappy player. I love his comment about, hey, I got two left feet and I can't jump an inch off of the ground, and yet I can take these superstars and make them look like fools on the court.
Well, I loved his ending comment in that article. Like, people pay to see AD and LeBron, but I'm stealing the show. I mean, this is the kind of self-confidence everybody needs to be an NBA player.
Well, you better have that kind of confidence. Or you don't belong there.
So, okay. Listen, we've dumped on Darvin Ham for about 40 minutes here.
Ham 32, sandwich.
30 minutes.
Half a ham sandwich.
A worn out ham sandwich. What are you doing to that ham sandwich that's so worn out, bro? It's a little disconcerting. Anyhow, this is my problem with 90% of the coaches in the NBA. It's that there's no – Phil Jackson had a system. It went with him wherever he went, and the players who didn't fit into it were moved.
Yeah.
The coach didn't change. The coach never changed what he was doing. The coach never was like
– over and over, Jamie. Well, you get good at it.
Well, and this is the thing. You can make an argument that, like, Glenn Rice was a better NBA player than Rick Fox. But not for Phil Jackson.
No, right.
And this is my problem with front offices and coaches in the NBA today is that, and you can say like, oh, it's about players have all the power. It's because the front office and the coaches have given it away.
Yeah.
They have surrendered what power they have.
Money is the money, man.
It's not the money.
Oh, yes.
Money is driven by winning. Do you want to win or do you want to look flashy?
Yeah, but. They'll pay $10 million for a coach, but they'll
everybody's
pay
talking
$80
about
million for a player.
How could you possibly create space? You set screens. You set multiple screens. You have a player that doesn't like to get screens, you trade them. You don't resign them. You move on. You get somebody in there who runs your system. And that's what Golden State has done. It's not
well, again. Here's the problem with Ham now. The problem with Ham now is that Pelinka has formed a partnership with Ham. So they decide who they go after.
No, it's bad. It's bad right now. It's not going to get worse.
The difficulty of that is that Ham is having input into who to bring aboard.
Oh yeah, or who to keep.
And that is not. And he's not the kind of guy that you want making those decisions because of his biases against and for certain players who play for.
Look no further than Torian Prince, who was not traded at the deadline.
Or Dennis Schroeder, you know that whole situation.
I mean, I'll say this. I wish we had Dennis Schroeder right now because at least he's playing. And Vincent
we need a point of attack defender, and we don't have one.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind playing D'Lo and Schroeder at the same time even. I mean.
No, I'd play D'Lo and Schroeder before I play D'Lo and Austin.
Yeah.
Austin should be the sixth man.
Okay.
That's simple to me.
So we all were really high. Speaking of Austin Reaves, this is my next guy who's kind of like I'm having a hard time with these days. I really like Austin Reaves' approach to the game. I like that he doubled down on himself. I like that he has improved to the degree that he's improved on. However, I am now of the opinion that he has hit a ceiling. That this is the best version of Reaves we're ever going to see. I don't see everybody wanted to. He's got a nice handle. He can get to the rim. You know, he's not an elite finisher. He's a solid finisher. Finishes well at the rim. He's still shooting weird shots where he's fishing for contact or trying to make it look like he got fouled, and I just wish he would stop. But I don't see another gear. I don't see another level for him to get to. And so that's the case.
He's not the kind of guy that could make the jump that D'Lo did.
Well,
D'Lo, all of a sudden you say to D'Lo, okay, instead of 15 shots a game, we're going to give you 20.
I mean, I don't think it works quite like that in the NBA. I think that.
Well, it depends upon the skill level of the player. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah. Austin, well, that's what I'm saying is that I think that we are seeing the max level that
I agree. And I think D'Lo can play. I think D'Lo has shown that he's got another level that he can go to. Now, he's going to still have to prove he can do that in the playoffs.
I think that, okay. I mean, I think you're being a little overly optimistic, and I'll tell you why. One is we've seen D'Lo.
He's one of my favorite players, of course.
I know he's one of your favorite players. And I know as soon as you traded him, you were trying to trade for him back for multiple years. And so, you know.
Well, I've traded him multiple times this year already.
I know you've traded everybody.
But I haven't traded him in the last.
I think you'd trade me if you could.
Well, I made an offer to Darius, but
listen, I will take Darius Soriano's job, and he can have mine. I will not veto that trade with my. But here's my thing. Okay, this summer, if you say to D'Lo, is there a world where we can have a starting lineup of D'Lo, another two-way guard who's a little bit better on defense and about the same Marcus offensively. I don't know, Mark. I was, you know, I brought up Marcus Smart early this season, and he's fallen apart. So I'm now.
Well, I think he's lost a little motivation, man. He got traded from Boston to the Grizzlies.
Yeah, but I mean, I think if the Grizzlies had been in the playoffs right now, that Marcus Smart would was. I mean, it's. I think they shut him down on account
he's still,
of.
He's still in my mind the kind of player that we need to have next to D'Lo.
I don't know that I would get Marcus Smart, but yes, that is the type of player that you want next to D'Angelo Russell.
I mean, so that's, you know, question. Lou Dort. I like Lou Dort. He's another player I really do like.
You got to change this handle, bro. This is just the worst. This is the, come on, Jizz guy.
Ooh. What?
Hey, my friend Alex. Yes. How boring would this be if Ham was actually here? I would love to talk to Jarvin Ham. I would love to pick his brain about. I would love to pick his brain about the why. Why are you doing things the way you're doing them?
You could make a list of five questions that we could get a unanimous agreement that somebody needs to ask Darvin Ham in a conference.
That's Joe Soros' dream. All he wants to be is at a Laker press conference once and get.
Why didn't you play Bando at? Why don't we start Bando ever? You know, it's questions like that. Or why don't you call a timeout? Others, you know, we get a 6-point lead. The other team always calls timeout every time. Now, we all know the jump from 6 to 9 or 6 to 3 is a critical part of how you break a team up. But every time we get 6 points behind, our coach doesn't do shit.
Oh, come on, Jump. You know you're just going to make Gerald go back and edit out your curse words.
Well, I thought we were allowing those.
Oh, I don't know what we're allowing. We editing those out. Like now? People are, I don't know. What? What is this all about?
Every minute I'll say something.
Who hates Gerald? On little me? I'm adorable. Come on now. I'm absolutely adorable. Get out of here with this crap. All right, listen. Okay, here's my next. So this is the question I was trying to ask, and now I've derailed myself. If there a world where we can trade just Austin Reeves this summer for a player, because I think you want to keep Hachimura. I think they want to see what they have in Vanderbilt. I'm not saying that Vanderbilt's
untouchable. Trade him for Caruso. It's a good deal. It's what we need.
Is Caruso in the final year of his contract, or is he a free agent this summer?
I don't know, but we need somebody like that.
I would love AC Fresh. You know, I'm a huge Caruso fan, and that's. Curse all you want, Tom. Hashtag more work for Gerald. Yeah, Gerald's on his last little bit of hair up there, so let's not give him any more work. Yeah, Alex, I totally agree. He's trying to do the
Gerald's got to understand that when you put together a motley crew, you got motley problems.
That's putting it nicely. I think my good friend Alex Lennon brings up a good point that Darvin Ham is seeing himself in the mold of Phil Jackson, where he's letting the team take care of it on the court. However, that's because I know I wish that were the case. I believe that all this is coming from a place of confidence. But when your coach all season long has been using this excuse, that excuse, his excuse, her excuse, anybody who comes up with an excuse, he's like, oh, that'll work in a press conference. And so no.
You can always use failure of execution as the excuse.
No, never, bad, no, worst coach ever. Bring back Mike D'Anto. You mean goofballs? I was so high when they called me and offered me the job. I don't remember the first year.
There's a guy who has a set of principles. If you agree with him, and his team will play a certain way. And one thing you can be confident of is that his shooters will make shots. You build confidence in that way. So, you know, there's some guys who basically would have probably been best in their career if they'd just been an offensive coordinator. Yeah, that's Mike D'Antoni, you know, because he could probably put together a better offense than almost any other coach that I can think of.
In my mind,
let me tell you, as a shooter, what the confidence the coach gives you and the green light that he gives you is everything in the world to you for your game. If you don't have a guy who really believes in you and trusts you, and you're a player like D'Angelo Russell, who will sometimes take risky shots and so forth. And it's a big difference. It's a big difference. And Darvin Ham, I think, has to be given some credit for the fact that we have turned around our 3-point shooting. Yes. I will give him that, because that has been a huge accomplishment, and it's allowed the Lakers to finally, I think this summer, make some major decisions about what kind of team they want to have going forward. D'Lo's made three times as many threes as Trae Young has in this year, three times as many threes as it took Trae to make in 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I don't know that that's something you, okay. That's neither here nor there. I don't know how.
But
that
I think the
yes.
You want a third star, but do you need a third star? I think that D'Angelo is as good a third star as this team can get.
I think the real question is going to come down to this: who's actually available this summer,
yeah,
specifically on draft day? Because we can only trade 3 first round draft picks on draft day.
Right.
After that, we're back to 2. And whoever's on the team on the first day of free agency. Okay? So, with that in mind, if we don't make a move on draft day, which I am going to bet that we don't. I know you're going to be all surprised.
Like, of course, I know you were going to
bet. But I'll tell you why.
On your grave.
I'll tell you why. I would love that. Well, I'm gonna have myself buried at sea Viking style. You'll put me out on a pontoon, and people can shoot fiery arrows at me, and then I'll explode, and it's gonna be fantastic.
It'll be hard to put you back together again. When
I don't mind it. For what purpose? I don't know, to put me back together. What, you're gonna Frankenstein me? You're gonna walk me around and say, like, what do you think, Jamie? Listen.
So, well, it'd be the 28th century. They're gonna bring back somebody, so they just do a random.
Don't pick that guy. No, please don't pick me. Whatever's going on in the 28th century by then, I don't want to live in a Mad Max Thunderdome kind of reality. So no moves, Malloy. That's me, man. No, that's not true. That's absolutely untrue. And Tom likes to portray me like that, and that's fine, because I am often of the opinion. I just am constantly like, oh, we're not going to do anything, but because I don't see the logic in it. Tom and Jill, we could agree. That would be awesome. That I would be fine with. I would be totally
like fine LeBron with goes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. listen, I could see us moving Reeves because this summer at some point, because A.
Well, if we go for a superstar, he's going to be moved for sure.
I don't think we're going to go for a superstar. I don't see the Trae Young connection. I'm not afraid of that.
God, I hope not.
I don't think we're going to do it. I don't think we're going to do it mainly because of how the CBA is structured. It will make it very hard.
I don't
think
we're going to do it because I think D'Lo is going to have a great rest of the year, and we're going to make the playoffs, and D'Lo is going to play great. And the decision will be that D'Lo is a third star.
I think that that's also optimistic. I think if he plays that well, he'll be playing on another team next season. But mainly Brooklyn. I think because Brooklyn is finally going to be able to trade Ben Simmons.
The only problem with your comment being possibly right is that if we do well, that's going to help Ham.
All of this. This is what I mean.
I mean, I never get to the point where I can root for the team to do terrible to fire Ham, even though I know it might be best in the long run.
This is the debate, right? What are our tradable assets? 3 first round draft picks and a lot of pick swaps and second rounders.
4 pick swaps.
Reeves, Jalen Hood-Schifino, Lewis, Hachimura. You don't have Hachimura on there. As of draft day, you could include Vanderbilt in the trade, I believe.
Yep.
Because he had a no trade. You have to wait. It wasn't that Vando. So the thing with Vando was very interesting, and maybe not everybody's sure about how this works. Because of
he
the
could be
date,
traded after the trade deadline if it were legal.
Exactly. Because of the date that he signed his contract on, you had to wait.
They waited deliberately to make him untradeable.
6 months, or his agent did, or who knows how it worked out. We'll never know until we see the Rob Pelinka memoir. Whatever that's going to be titled, how much I like to run and hashtag riding on the coattails of Kobe. Yeah, exactly. Kurt gets it. It was timing of signing. So timing of signing, which is a much more succinct way of putting it than I'm doing it right now, has everything to do with why Vanderbilt was never mentioned one time in trade discussions this entire year. It was because he couldn't be traded until after the trading deadline. As such, after the season concludes and on draft day, which is, even though it's not quite free agency, you can trade players on draft day and draft day deals. That would be the first time you would be able to hear. I mean, technically, you can start the trading season in June after the NBA finals conclude. Everybody's like, we can make a trade now. It's just never going to happen. People aren't, nobody's around. Everybody's on vacation. GMs go to Cancun. Players go to wherever they, everybody's gone. So there's no movement after the NBA finals. Everybody's taking off and they're scouting the picks and trying to figure out who they're going to draft on the day of draft day. None, Alex. There are no good coaches available. Mike Budenholzer is available. Jeff Van Gundy is available. I think those are probably at the top of my list of professional coaches, people who have coached before. Unfortunately, those are at the top of my list. I think D'Antoni retired, or I don't know what he did.
I don't think D'Antoni is really interested anymore.
He wouldn't come back to the Lakers anyway.
Yeah.
There's no way he comes back.
Coach out there that you like.
No. Not that's not on another team.
Well, there's some assistant coaches out there that I like, you know, that I think would be good opportunities.
Then you're getting no. But this is the problem.
The Lakers always
But now you're ignoring the lesson from this season. This season, we learned the lesson that LeBron doesn't listen to a second year head coach,
right?
At all. Oh, you haven't won anything as a coach? I don't need to listen to you. I already think I know more than you. So that means you have to bring in a coach that's won an NBA championship. Popovich is not coming to the Lakers.
I don't think so. You're not going to get a coach like that.
There's one. It's Budenholzer. That's it. Yeah. That's the list.
What about the Warriors' assistants? The guy who coached D'Lo before, I think, is a good prospect.
No. I don't think that's – the Lakers just did this, right? They just took the best assistant they could find in their minds. Maybe he's not. Doesn't matter.
I would have long ago fired Hammond. I would have given Handy a chance to show what he can do.
Antoni, remember, No D has a moonshine business. Mike's selling hooch. I love that. I'd rather have Air Bud. 805 Hiking wants to bring in Mike Krzyzewski. It's not happening. He's, 97 years old now? Air Bud 2024. Everybody's calling for Air Bud. Did he coach the team too? I thought he just played. I never saw that movie. Oh God, don't, Bruce, you're killing me with your suggestions. You're killing me, Bruce Wayne. Quit your day job, Bruce. Quit your day job. Bring back Phil. Get
Byron Scott, man. Oh,
no. Listen, I think if they were to do anything, if I were to say, okay, if we were to fire. If Ham were to get fired this summer, I think I would either say Budenholzer or Handy. I would see what – if you're going to do an assistant, don't do one from another team. Do one that you have a relationship with. Do one that you don't have to start from ground zero and be like, oh, how do we work together in this environment here in Los Angeles? No. Get ahead of the curve a little bit somehow. Do something that allows you to get a little bring back Rodman. I would love Dennis Rodman as the coach. He'd just be getting wasted on the sideline, like, "Oh, there's a game."
I think that there's a good opportunity that they could decide to give the reins to Phil Handy. It'd be interesting to see. I have never read anything philosophical about what Handy's approach is toward the general.
What's the philosophical approach of Darvin Ham? What's the philosophical approach of any of these guys? Everybody runs a simple system.
Ham obviously is defense first.
Is it?
Yeah, I do think he plays defense first. I mean, that's why we sucked the whole first half of the season, because he kept putting all these taking out starters and putting in better defenders. And
I don't think we'd be playing Corey's. I don't think we'd be playing Torian Prince as much if he was defense first.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout. But we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
Sometimes his opinion of what is good defense is questionable.
Yeah, that's, I guess, my thing.
And that's the problem.
And I don't see.
I find that Taurean Prince, I like his offense very much. I like the fact that he's a quick shooter. He's a pretty good shooter. And I think he does a much better job than people give him credit for when he attacks the rim.
Oh, man.
You know, his problem is defensively, he's like, yes, he's always like a step too slow.
I wish we had Jack Handy, the deep thoughts guy, as our coach. Phil Handy is the assistant coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh man.
That's the, okay. I'm not going to put all these. This is the last one. I've run our test though. I think Derek Fisher won 7 whole games as the Knicks head coach. And I think that the
Rajon Rondo would be my pick.
That Blue Magic just put it. That's if I were to get anybody and just say like this guy, it would be Rondo.
Yeah,
I would have done Rondo. But I don't know. I mean, and Rondo said he's interested. I think he's coaching at a college team right now, if my memory serves. I can't remember.
Rondo would be perfect because he fits all of the needs. LeBron has listened to him.
Yeah.
He's got experience as a Laker. Jeez, am I going to have to start hoping for the Lakers to lose? I can't stand those guys that –
Listen, it's not going to happen. First off, look.
Yeah, but I hate to see Ham. I just don't want to see Ham back, man.
You're going to get another at least quarter to half a season of Darvin Ham. I'm guaranteeing it right now. Because only because there's so many.
I refuse to accept the logic.
Well, the logic is not even logic.
No, I refuse to accept it. It's too logical.
That's fine. You can also not accept my baked-in excuses. Too many injuries. It's such a tough conference we're playing in. It's so tough, you guys. It's such a tough conference. It was, you know, and the injuries.
All that says is did I mention the injuries? Better. The teams are better than when we hired him. Therefore, we need somebody better.
Straight shooter, Darren. Straight shooter, always.
Next thing we'll see is. The next thing we'll probably see at the next game at halftime is Darwin crossing the court and huddling up and snuggling with Jeannie and what's her name?
Yeah, we already saw that with LeBron.
Jeannie's laying his head on LeBron's shoulder. It's like, well, there's the 3-year max contract coming up right around the corner.
Oh yeah, no, it's that's
I don't mind that. I don't mind that because he came here because of Kobe. You treat him the same way the next guy will come because of it.
No, he came here because of legacy. His kids wanted to go to school in Malibu, and it's a whole host of reasons.
Well, everything is always a whole host of reasons, but big part of it is the Lakers. He could have gone to the Clippers and got all of the other same things.
Let's get Pookie as our head coach. I don't even know who Pookie is, but I believe you. All right, we kind of got off. We got off track here.
I like the Rajon Rondo as coach thing.
I do too. If there's, you asked me who I like in the NBA, almost nobody. I would have liked Quinn Snyder up until I saw him coach the Hawks. I don't know. His inability to coach the Atlanta Hawks is a little bit disconcerting to me. It's a little bit. He is the one.
Like DeJounte Murray. I think that I might have made that deal for Murray. I think that he is. The idea of him and D'Lo together was really intriguing to me. He's the kind of guy you need next to D'Lo, somebody who can defend and who's really athletic to, you know, just balance that two left feet can't jump style of D'Lo's with somebody who's, you know, can do the other side of the coin.
All right. Last thing. We've got, I think, 12 games left? 14 games
14.
left.
7 in March and 7 in April.
7 in March, 7 in April. What's your prediction for these last 14 games? I'm going to say 8-6 because we've been playing about that level of basketball all season long.
I think that you're probably pretty accurate. I wouldn't expect much more than that, because I think that there's going to be a lot of integration of new players coming back, which is going to mess up things. And hopefully they'll figure it out and work it out. But I also think we're going to see some resting for the playoffs. Yes. I don't think they're going to want to wear out LeBron and AD. It's not worth it to get up to 7-8 to bust their buns. So I think that we're going to try to keep it really steady and healthy. I hope we don't change the starting lineup until Vandal gets back. Because I don't want to shift.
They're not changing the starting lineup no matter what.
Well, there's going to be.
This is it. You're watching.
Okay. You don't think it's going to change at all. I think Vandal is going to become a starter.
I think they'll stick with Hachimura because he's played so much work.
I think it's Reeves that's going to go to the bench and Vando's going to.
They're not going to start Vando at shoot, dude.
I think they can.
Yes, they can, but they won't.
I think they will.
I know they won't. They won't know because it doesn't make an ounce of sense.
The position doesn't make a difference. He's going to guard in the backcourt. He's going to be guarded by a backcourt guy. He's playing a two, whether you call it. I don't know what you call it. It doesn't matter.
He plays a
he's going to defend. He's going to defend a two guard.
I disagree with everybody. I think that based on our, everybody thinks, oh, he's such a grump. He doesn't believe in anything. I believe empirical evidence, right? Empirical evidence dictates Darvin Ham hates to change his lineups. He will stick with the lineup beyond the point of logic for a very long time. Often until probably somebody in the front office says, do you like your job?
No, until somebody in the front office says, we can't keep allowing 120 points per game against us.
Do you want to be a head coach for another day or two? Because you're about to blow it, bro.
If they have to make Darvin change the lineup again, he's gone this summer.
That's right.
That's the problem because you get a guy who...
Bruce, Jerry's never going to die, man. He's never going to die. He's alive in all of us. I don't know what's going on the chat with everybody, but it's oh my god, you guys are all
we're gonna finish 10th. We're gonna win two games in the play-in tournament to make the
eighth. I could see us
finishing. We'll get the 8th seed and we're gonna get for the number one seed the Denver Nuggets and we're gonna beat them. That's my prediction. We'll probably have a second round exit, but
I haven't seen how the brackets
are. And then they'll fire Darwin because of the second round exit. But D'Lo will have played great in the playoffs. He'll be brought back as a starting point guard. They'll go out and they'll get Marcus Smart. They'll trade Hayes to Boston for Porzingis.
Now, Hayes has to pick up his player option, which I hope he does. I really feel like Hayes has been a little bit of a second-half revelation, and I think that there's something in Jackson Hayes it never does.
But you know what? You know who really opened his game up? It was D'Lo. D'Lo is the guy who's really made the passes, most of the passes. Oh,
no, listen. Nobody's figured out how to beat Denver. It's not just the Lakers. Nobody.
It's their two forwards, man. You got two forwards that are 6'10 and a 7-foot center.
Darren, what did I
And Ham's you? Going out and playing small ball with these guys. What a stupid ham sandwich, man. Come on. Worn out ham sandwich. You know, it's like the kid goes to school, he opens his lunchbox, and what's he got?
The ham sandwich from yesterday that his mom didn't. Right. His mom was like, I've
had that feeling as a kid many times. I'm sure you have too.
We try, Bruce. We try. We try to keep it light because sometimes Laker fans get a little heavy, man. We get a little like, the weight of the world is coming down. It's like it's a game. It's a sport. We're watching a bunch of guys get paid a lot of money to run around and throw a ball. So, you know, I'm ready for spin class. Oh man, no caffeine needed. No, Tom loves caffeine. It's not the caffeine that Tom doesn't love. It's just coffee. I'm a coffee man. Tom's a Coke man. That's why I got my cute.
I drank coffee as a kid, and I got sick. I just got sick of it at one time, and I never ever since then could stand the taste.
I'm actually out of coffee, and now I'm sad. I just looked at my mug, and there's no more left. All right.
So part of my life has missed it by not being a coffeeholic. My wife's crazy coffee. She buys all this coffee from remote, socially acceptable places, and you know, and won't drink coffee from certain places, and you know, it's like a whole thing. It's like wine and cannabis and cigars and, you know, it's all of this turning them into, whether it's a type of, you know, people that like whiskeys or vodkas, and they search the whole world over for, you know, vodka that's made in a glacier and Antarctica or something like that.
Oh man, have you had this glacier vodka? It's the bee's knees. All right, so I'm Collins. What did I say? 8-6.
Yeah, I think we'll go 8-6.
Eight and six sounds about right. It's slightly more optimistic than 9-5.
At this point, we don't care. We just want to get healthy, and we want to figure out as we get these three guys who are coming back. Hopefully, they'll all come back before April, and we'll have some choices to make.
I like that Alex's diet is a glacial vodka. That's it. I wake up, glacial vodka. I'm at work teaching kids, glacial vodka. Yep. Come home from the day, hang out with the dogs, glacial vodka. Yep. And I don't have any solid food. And you know, I wonder why I'm losing weight and about to die. It is an infomercial on the Los Angeles Lakers, a team we all love. We really do like the Lakers here, people. It's, I know sometimes it might not sound like it, and you might wonder, do we even like one another? We like each other tremendously. Hold on. Gerald's trying to get us to do something here. Gerald, here you go. I saw your post, Gerald. I can tell you're posting.
Please
from the
join our rest.
Yeah, it's coming. I can't listen. I don't care.
You lose your job, Jamie, if you don't give those Gerald's infomercials the way he wants it, man.
Whatever, I don't care. Lost. Listen, I don't care what amateurs do. College
get
sport
your teleprompter
is
working. Your teleprompter
all college working? Sport is a bunch of amateurs. It's amateurs who aren't professionals. I don't care how much whatever. Oh, they try so hard. Oh, it's the school spirit is so intriguing. Out of here with that crap. They're amateurs. Leave them alone. Let them play in their team. Same with high school. Don't show me high school players on ESPN. Leave them alone. They're kids. Don't show me peewee football on ESPN2. Leave them alone. They're toddlers. Like, get out of here with that crap. Just stop. Honestly. Anyway, so Tom and I are incredibly in sync on our record for over the next 14 games, 8-6. Feel free to drop your
this has been a terrible year because we've been in agreement almost all year.
That's the problem from the beginning, is that we
after 20 years of doing this, we finally find a year where we're both in agreement all year, and it's bad.
We're both grouchy
because of that.
It's bad when we agree for the Lakers, Tom. We have to start. I'm just going to start disagreeing with you no matter what you say, even if I agree with you. You got to do the same.
That probably will bring back some sense of sanity to the year, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah.
And I agree, Alex. Maybe it's that Jekyll and Hyde nature of the Lakers this year that's just been horrible, you know?
We got
playoff quality games. We're going to treat it like a playoff game.
Listen, ooh, everybody, Gerald, if we get to 25 likes or if you get 25 entries into our whatever. That's right. That's exactly what I would say. I don't care what amateurs do. Enjoy the game, kids. Make sure it's not broadcast on live TV. Live your lives. Go outside and play. Fall off a tree.
Well, they can't. They're all holding their phones. It's hard to play basketball holding your phone.
Well, 8-6 get them in the playoffs, Alex. It kind of depends.
Two wins in the Italian tournament will. So one win was going to have to be.
I think that's what Alex means. So there's in case not everybody knows, I'm just going to say it real quick. 1-6 automatically get into the playoffs. 7, 8, 9, and 10 play the play-in, which is this nebulous thing. The stats don't count towards the playoffs. Don't count towards the regular season. They're just playing stats.
So as the number 10 team, we will play the number 9, probably Warriors.
Right, we'll and the winner of that game.
The loser of the number 7 and 8. Who's 7 and 8 now?
Right. What day is it? It could be anybody. I think it's Phoenix and Dallas.
Phoenix and Dallas. Okay, so let's say Phoenix wins that.
But Dallas and Dallas.
Dallas, So we'll have to beat the Warriors in Dallas to get to play the Nuggets in the first round.
That's about
right. I like it.
We'll play, if we're eight, we'll play OKC. We'll play OKC.
No, I think I don't think OKC can finish. I think the number one team in the West is going to be at the end will be the champs.
I have a feeling I'm going to see a lot of these "I don't care what amateurs do" quotes. And you know what? I love them all. I think they're great because it's absolutely true. That's what I would tell the kids too. Have fun at your soccer game, kids. Don't care who wins or loses. Be a kid.
Go start. Well, wait a minute. You didn't care who won or lost when you were a kid?
I was terrible at sports.
I'm an old guy now. I don't care who wins and loses, really.
That's not true. I actually am not bad at basketball, but I was so, and this is, so, all right, real quick anecdote. Well, we'll almost finish with a real quick anecdote. When I was a youngster, I was quite tall and lanky. And so they would put me down low, and that's how I developed a decent inside game. But I'm not like, I don't have the strongest base. So, you know, I would get, you know, pushed off the block a lot. And so that would annoy my coach. And so I didn't play a lot of basketball on a team, but I've played myself in rec and had a lot of fun doing that. Or I can pick up games or whatever. Then as a freshman in high school, for some reason, I tried out for the wrestling team. Being tall and lanky, I got my ass handed to me on a daily basis. Because there's all these like squat guys who weigh the same as me, and they're like, I don't know.
They love big guys, like they love guys like you that they can tie into pretzels.
Oh yeah, no, I was. They love me. They were like, oh yeah, this guy's gonna get his.
Oh, look at the leverage on that limb I got.
So anyway, right, exactly. It's all about leverage. So then I quit that. The sport I loved to play most in high school was cross country because you compete against yourself, and I built up a great deal of stamina, and it was great. I wish this was a sport. Full contact hopscotch would be. I would watch amateurs in full contact hopscotch. And that's how that would go. Yeah.
So there is a version of, I saw on X, a version of basketball where you're allowed, when somebody tries to set a screen on you, you're allowed to body slam them.
Okay.
It was an interesting game, man.
All right. I think you would probably need a larger team, probably closer to the size of a football team to get through the season.
You'd all of a sudden start to see a little, you see some linemen making some good moves.
I think you see some different types of basketball players. There's guys who shoot and there's guys who don't. There's the blockers and the shooters, and that's how that would devolve.
Well, anyway, I wonder how this whole thing with the way that the refs have decided suddenly to change the way the game is called.
We can't get into that again. We started the show crapping all over the refs. We don't need to bookend it with that.
Yeah, screw the refs anyway.
Well, I wish there were four. I wish there were four, and I wish there was a guy in the arena that was the replay guy. So they don't have to be.
We're going to reduce it to two, so there'll be
fewer. Hold on, everybody. Hold on. We need to pull a TV out from under this table. Hold on. Let's stop to get the TV out. Let me put a headset on. Okay. And now I'm going to start. I'm going to stand here and look like this for a few minutes.
22 minutes to finish 2 minutes of the game.
It was obscene. It was obscene last night. Yes, Kurt, I could wrestle Tom and probably win. But I don't know. Tom's pretty competitive. I'm not as competitive.
Tom's pretty old, though. That's the problem. Tom's moving to a small apartment.
Are you still feeling the effects of the move?
Actually, I just started hiking again, so I've been doing 3 miles a day.
Okay, good man.
I didn't for 60 days while we moved, and I'll tell you, anybody who's got a large house and is over 40 years old, start getting rid of stuff. Because, man, it is a nightmare to move it.
Yeah. Darren, if you're not a fan of Jerry Reed, you should go listen to the song Amos Moses. That describes me when I'm in the South perfectly. I am Amos Moses. All right. So, listen, we're calling 8-6. We play Atlanta tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to – I think the Lakers I think that the thing, Jamie, is that we know where we are. The fans know where we are. The team knows where they are. They know that they're not one of the favorites. They know that they're going to have to win two games in the play-in tournament just to get in. And then they're going to probably place the best team in the league in the West in a first round series.
Is AD back? Does anybody know? He's there. No update.
The word is that there's nothing from the Lakers, but the average has been 4 days and one game missed. because of scratched eyeballs.
He had, and it's confirmed that he has a scratch on his eyeball.
It's confirmed that he got a scratch.
Oh, so we're losing to Atlanta tomorrow.
So he's probably going to miss the Atlanta game, and that's a lucky break for us if we can take advantage of it. That it's Atlanta that we're playing.
I don't see the luck, but okay.
You wouldn't want to play the Celtics, do you?
I understand. I understand. I misinterpreted your yeah. intonation. Okay. Yeah, that's right, man. I don't understand. I will never understand this. Why more players? I mean, it must affect their shooting somehow, although it didn't seem to affect Kareem's. I don't understand why more, especially big men, don't wear goggles. I just don't get it.
No, I do. I remember going out as a freshman because I played basketball and I was real fast. The football coach asked me to come out and try out for football. I'd never worn a helmet before, man. I tell you, I was a great wide receiver. Anything I touched, I caught. But man, putting that helmet on and all of that equipment and running around the field, that was not like, I mean.
Man, you should have been in that FBI movie about Leonardo DiCaprio. Catch me if you can. I touched you, Leo.
I quit that after 1 week. Just in time to return my football cleats for a full refund.
Oh, man. All right. Listen.
With a helmet and goggles and trying to play basketball, I could not.
Did you need a helmet?
Well, I mean, it's just that whole idea that of goggles is so
cool. I didn't bring the helmet in. Okay. Tom's the one advocating for, like, linebackers and helmets and basketball. He's off the rails. I think
body slam those kickers.
Okay. Only if they're allowed to, like, flex on them like a WWE guy. Like, oh, yeah, you went down, bro. Cream of the crop.
If I lived in L.A., I'd go to the next Laker game, and at halftime I'd come down, and I'd offer Darwin Ham half of my ham sandwich.
Yes. Oh, man, you're not going to let that go. I can see your next post now on the site. Ham sandwich. Everything's going to be a ham sandwich for the next 2 months. Until the season's
now coming. I got to figure out how can the Lakers be successful and still fire Darwin.
It's not happening. One begets the other.
So I got to give up. I have to give up any hope for this season in order.
What you have to reconcile and accept in your heart and soul is that Darvin Ham will be the coach at least until the calendar year turns over to 2025.
No, I don't want to take that.
Well, then you got to hope for the Lakers to lose.
And then it's like I don't have anything to look forward for all of 2024.
How much of 2024 is left? Like what, 9 months? We're almost done.
I'm almost done. What is March? It's March, man. There's 9 more months of 2024.
Yeah, you got 9 more months of Darvin Ham.
I got 9 more months that I got to live in this apartment until I can build a house somewhere.
Are you building? All right. I don't want to hear about it.
I want to build a house.
You're going to build a house? You? Yeah.
No, I'm not going to build it myself. I'm going to.
Okay. Well, that's what it sounded like there for a second.
No, next time I move, I'm not even going to pay for the. I'm going to pay for people to pack too.
Welcome to our shack in the Ozarks. We got a distillery.
I want to build a small house on property owned by my son and daughter-in-law.
I'm telling you. Listen, Joe Soros's dream would be to attend one Laker post-game or pre-game maybe, but definitely post-game press conference and get kicked out that same day. And I think I would pay money to watch that. I wish that there was a market for or somebody who could be like the Ali G of NBA press conferences. You know, that's what I want to see in life is the Ali G of press conferences. And I don't think we'll ever see that, Jamie Bill.
I'm surprised that somebody.
I'm not in a trench. I'm in a garage.
I'm surprised that nobody has sort of taken that role. That's actually a role that they could take if they had the right credentials.
Am I right, Joe? Am I right? I would say that I'm right. That is on your bucket list of getting into and kicked out of a Lakers press conference just because you get to ask one question. They call on you and you. Why is this team so effing stupid?
Well, I like how Darwin goes in. Darwin starts his press conference by saying, "I'm not going to answer any questions about the starting lineup." Good move, coach.
Transparency does wonders for you. All right, let's get him now. Well, everybody can comment about where they think I am right now. You're all wrong. This is where I live now. This is my home, and I'm.
It happens to be the garage of his home, unfortunately.
That's right. Yeah, my home's over there. That's why the Wi-Fi cuts out.
My wife allows me to do it in the bedroom. I don't have to go to the garage because one of the things we don't have anymore is a
garage. Mean, when you say your wife allows you to do it in the bedroom, you're talking about podcasts, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Gotta watch your words here sometimes.
Well, yeah, you never know. You never know.
Oh, man.
Listen, I'm telling you. You could do a great pay-per-view show of Joe Soro getting into and kicked out of press conferences for various sporting teams. And I think it would be great.
You could make it a career of it. You know, you could get a lot of news coverage and everything. It might hurt your business and could hurt your marriage. Your kids would be all too embarrassed.
I got me my meth still right over here.
But, you know, you want to, you know, it's like, it's like the song, you know.
Oh boy!
Everybody wants to be somebody. They all want to be somebody.
I'm already somebody. I'm like Stuart Smalley, man. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And
well, you made yourself. I mean,
and I don't need to be anybody but myself. So I remember people were like when back on the LA Times Laker blog when everybody had a crazy handle, and like it was weird that my name was just my name, Jamie Sweet, and it was like, and somebody was like, why is that your handle? I was like, because I don't need to pretend I'm somebody or not. I don't need to hide who I am or like my, that I have these thoughts or opinions. Like if you disagree with them, great.
Well, there are rumors that Sweet is a shortened version of a longer name that had, well, I don't even want to go into that.
Yeah, what? I don't, what bring it, Tom. You think I can't handle your innuendo? I can handle your innuendo. I've taken improv classes at Orange Coast College. I can handle anything. That's for Alex. Alex was with me on some of those things. It's anyway. I agree. Like Jizz Guy.
So there's like, still a, here's like the here's the ending.
Message. I don't know if you're still here, Jizz Guy.
What's my ending message for the podcast?
What is your ending message?
We're
for
really
the podcast?
Getting off track here.
I know. What do you want
to for the podcast? Is there still is rays of hope for the Lakers?
Oh God.
And if you thought it was great that we managed to win one play-in game last year. And make it all the way to the conference finals. Imagine how terrific it would be to win two play-in games. Take down the number one, the world champion Nuggets in the first round. And then go all the way to beating the Celtics for number 18. So,
wow,
I'm going to believe that's going to happen. And
I don't even think the Celtics are going to make it.
With him doing something illegal and fire him before the parade. And D'Lo will re-sign with the Lakers. There we go. That's it. We don't need to say anything more. This makes the world all right. Well,
please.
Oh, and Donald Trump has a heart attack and dies.
Whatever. All right. We don't have to get into politics here. Listen, you mean tertiary syphilis?
That would even be better.
I think that's what he has. I think he has tertiary syphilis. If you're not sure what tertiary syphilis is, look it up, see what the conditions are, and you go, oh. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Please hit like and subscribe right over there. It's right. It's a little more. It's under Tom. Hit like and subscribe under Tom. Tom, go like this so people ever know where to put. Yeah, there you go. Hit like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you get your basketball news. As Gerald Glassford would say, wherever you get your Laker podcast, please give us a 5-star review. Don't forget to tune into my shows on the Pop Culture Cosmos. And I forget what is this game day draft Draftomania show's called. I don't know. I don't do fantasy sports like I don't do amateur sports. Like I only deal in reality. Some people don't like it.
Wait till your daughter's old enough to play sports.
Check my give a shit meter. Oh. It doesn't.
Well, you might have it.
Sorry, Gerald. I said shit twice at the 120 mark. So, you know, what did you say? Who said more hashtag more work for Gerald? I think that was you, Kurt. That was it was Kurt or Darren. Anyway, for Laker Tom, I'm Jamie Sweet. Come by LakerHolics.com. We'll be there blathering away just like we do here. Although I haven't blathered as much this week because the games have pissed me off. And I'm trying to be for browing a beard. Okay, I will brow a beard. Listen, beard. I'll browbeat a beard. How's that? Listen, beard. Get it together. Anyway, have a great Sunday, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, which really, you know, that's a small list. So enjoy yourselves, everybody. Have a good one. Bye, Tom.
Okay. Thanks, guys.